So we'll begin with something quite brand new. Whatever comes to our mind and head and all that. But the topic was the same that we were discussing. It's about Baba one day telling me, and there were other Mandali members also here in Narazar, about his humiliation. It was on the same day that he gave us the figure about the delay in breaking his silence, which I had told you all some days ago. He used to tell us about his humiliation every now and then, remind us through circulars and so forth. What we felt was, being in his close association, whenever he gave public darshan and took us out in the midst of tens of thousands of people, where he is seated and he's hailed, you may almost call that he is worshipped there as the Ancient One. So we felt that it was his glorification. And we were really delighted with the whole happy scene that was before us. How can I bring before you the fact that we led such a life of great seclusion with him? We did not know the world. We did not know the human mentality and their traits. And all of a sudden, when he would give mass darshan, that means being in the public, right in the midst of the crowd of tens of thousands of people, sea of humanity, you may call it, and seated there in silence and being adored and worshipped as the Ancient One. Nobody went and told them about him. Some few of them had known about him, had come close to him, but what about the rest of humanity? How did they accept it? And there happened one occurrence, you see, which gave me a fright in that crowd there. One day we were in south of India, which is considered to be the stronghold of orthodoxy, where the Brahmins feel and consider themselves that they are of the highest class. And naturally, they wield great power. They also swing the emotions and faith and belief of humanity here in this country. When people face them, they are the religious head, you may call it. So we once visited that place, which is the stronghold of orthodoxy, where Brahmins are. Soon after the Manonash phase in New Life, Baba was giving public darshan, called the mass darshan as it is known. There, of course, Baba is seated there, and we are surrounded by a sea of humanity. All around us, and our dais where Baba was made to sit was in the center of that. It's impossible to escape from there if the mob fury were to go against us. Even the emotions, not adverse, but favorable emotions, if the humanity is overpowered with that, and suppose if all want to go and hug and kiss Baba, what will happen to Baba? You see, such a precarious position we are in. And in the midst of all that, when they are giving him a very warm and hearty welcome in their city, and how blessed they are to have him there, we have got those welcome addresses and all that from strata of different communities and also professions and all that, where the municipal councillors come, the corporators, the mayor, the bar association, and the industrialists and political heads and leaders and all of them, different branches come there, and on the dais they read out their welcome address to Baba. And after that, there is Baba himself gets up from the dais there and gets down, you see, from the dais. Before doing that, he would address them saying that, remain seated. And I am going to bow down to you. Don't think that this bowing down is to you individually, but I bow down to your love for me in you. that will avoid all the delay in your approaching me physically. And so forth and so on. So you'll bow down to the mass of humanity and all that. All that is being done. And then a little message would be read out from Baba. Very short message. There are different types of messages there. But I still remember one thing in that, in the whole episode of my life with Baba amongst the crowds. So what happened was that now Baba, that message is a written message that I had to read out on the public address. And then it gets translated into a variety of languages that are prevalent at the time, according to the district or the province or the state we are in. After this, Baba then extempore dictates on the board or with his sign gestures. And there he says, I think he was using the board, isn't it, Baba sir?
Yeah.
On the board he reads out. And I read out then loudly on the public system. So, this is for the first time Baba has made it public this way. I am the same ancient one. So I say, Baba says, I am the same ancient one come in your midst once again. My message is of love. I have come now, this time in your midst, to do away with all rites, rituals and ceremonies. And I got so frightened, you see, saying, of course I said it because Baba dictated it. Because I see all these people, you see, who are the stronghold, you see, where rites, rituals and ceremonies are prevalent there. Without that they can't do with this. And here with great authority he says this. And I shuddered after having said this. And so Baba pulls my coat, you see, the little border of my coat. He says, don't get frightened. He gives me the comfort. I was so frightened at the time. Yeah, don't get frightened. So that was one of the instances where I recorded in my mind.
And the reaction was
a great, the pin drop silence and at the same time acceptance of what they heard from him. Total acceptance everywhere. So what I am saying, drawing your attention to the fact is, that what we were witnessing was his being glorified, you see. All that we find in the past events, you see, of a small group of people, some little crowd there, once in a way, Jesus passing through the streets of Jerusalem, you see, and it was considered to be a great welcome there. It's mentioned in the scriptures, isn't it? Palm Sunday is celebrated because of that, remembered because of that. The great ovation and hailing him is there. And soon after there. So what happened is that we missed the point. I in my mind registered, well, this is what Baba was saying about the glorification. And all the humiliation was at the time when we were in new life and how we were humiliated by the police who always interrogated us and mistook us to be bandits or mistook us to be political inciters and so forth. And there were many situations of that type. And Baba was humiliated in the railway carriage, you see. There are many good stories on that, and this and that. So he says, oh, after humiliation, Baba says, my glorification will be there. So we have gone through the whole phases of new life and all that. Now this is the period of glorification. And we were very happy. Many of us mistook it for real glorification. And then when Baba would come and then he would inquire, well, how was the day? He says, wonderful. Oh, it was a sight for the gods to witness and all that sort of thing, you see. So Baba would smile. And then I said out that Baba, it reminds me of what you had said about your glorification. So he said, then he would tell me, this is no glorification. Wait, my humiliation has to be there. Only after my humiliation, there will be the breaking of my silence, there will be the manifestation and glorification. This is no glorification. All that enthusiasm, all that fine feeling, you know, just still the humiliation is there. My God, what will it be? What will it be? What sort of humiliation will it be and all that? So all the time it will be playing upon our minds about these humiliations. So when we'll go out, you know, we'll keep a greater watch over the crowd, you see. My eyes would wander like that, you see. There is any stone coming from anywhere, any pie being thrown at Baba's face, any rotten eggs will be thrown. That sort of imagination I had about humiliation. A wrong conception of the humiliation of the great ancient ones. Once in a while, he had passed one remark, which continued to just time and again come into my, come into focus, you see. And what was that? He said, just on a stray occasion, nothing to do with glorification or manifestation or glorification, nothing of that sort. Just like that, you see. When reports would come sometimes about some of the closest ones having gone to a saint for his darshan, or just like Dr. Deshmukh, as I told you the other day, wanting to have a Brahmin guru instead of Zoroastrian ancient one, you see. Yeah. So it was like that. So you'd hear this, and time and again such reports would come. So one day he said this, that he remembers the story, he says. He tells us, out of the blue, he tells us this, that he remembers a story, an incident. And he said that there was a woman who was being treated by law of the land as an adulteress and was kept in the market square to be put to death by the public. And the law of the land was that she was exposed to public gaze, and because of her adultery, people were duty-bound to throw a rock at her and kill her, shoes at her, throw something at her, strike her, any passerby that passes by.
Each one to strike.
Yeah, it takes a long time. It depends upon what type of rock and what type of things that you throw at the person. So that was the law of the land at that time. So Baba says, I remember that. But in that, there was one lady who was being accused as the adulteress. And she had a daughter. And while naturally people were throwing rocks and shoes at her, and she never cried out, never screamed, never let anybody feel that she's being hurt by all these rocks, she stood there, radiant, beautiful as ever. Then what happened, coincidentally, her daughter was to pass by that, and she knew that her mother is there on that market square, and by law she had to throw something at her. She had no heart to throw a piece of rock or an old shoe at her. So, but she had to throw something. So she thought that the best thing would be for my mother, that I'll throw a rose at her. So she went and purchased a rose, you know, a rose from a florist. So she got that and she kept it in her pocket. And when she approached and was crossing, you see, the market square there, and there she was, by law, she's duty bound. The people are there, the one who are supervising the this whole operation. So what, she took it out and she just threw the rose at her. And there was a loud shriek given out by that lady who was accused. And people wondered that she never shrieked when the rocks were thrown at her. She never said a single word when shoes were thrown at her. But somebody throws a rose at her. And who is that person? What sort of a force it must have been? So they found out that it was her own daughter. So they said, how the mother must have felt being accused by her own daughter, although she was innocent. How much more will I feel when mine own were to hurt me by even throwing a petal of a rose at me? So he said, how can it be possible? What is it? We don't understand, Baba. What are you hinting at? If you, who are with me for so many years, were to in your ambition to gather more blessings, or in your whatever way you would want to proceed further towards the truth, in your search and aspirations for truth, if you were to find an opportunity, though living with me, being with me, passing your years with me, if you were to go out and contact a saint with that object and with that motive, that I may gather something from him, gain his blessings, that will favor me to aspire more and more for truth or something like that. How would I feel? It is equivalent to that. A daughter hurting the mother with a rose. You are hurting me just with a petal of rose by your just going out there. But that hurt is as good as people flinging rocks at me. It is worse humiliation for me than for that woman who is accused of adultery. So such things, you see, he would just remark and get impressions on our head, you see, on our minds, in our head, we'll have that. It was like that. And it just remained dormant all these years and all that. Then came a period, a real stretch of time, when time and again there will be reports coming that so-and-so has come up, you see, calling himself the master. So-and-so has come up, who says that he is the avatar of the time. So-and-so says that he is the Balak Bhagwan, he is child God. The child calls himself God, and so forth. So the reports would come, many of his lovers would go there, and reports would come from group heads saying that so-and-so person, so-and-so family had gone there, now they are not attending, they are irregular in attending our center meetings and all that. So reports would come. But then we will feel so sad about it. We ourselves would feel sad because they were so close to us, those families. How can it be possible like that when Baba has given us so often he has given us to understand that he is the very root of all, the whole creation. He is at the very root of the creation. He is the ancient one. Once you have me, there is no need for you all to go even, let alone saints and yogis and masts and all that, not even to go to perfect masters, because I am the perfect master of the perfect masters. I am the eternal perfect master of all the perfect masters. Why? Why do you all do that? So he would just make us send out letters and all that. Well, that we would feel, we'll feel hurt and sad about it and all that. And so Baba said that this is no humiliation, although it hurts me, it makes me sad, it gives me pain, but it's no humiliation. Humiliation is still worse. And we couldn't follow it. We didn't know what it is. But after humiliation, he'll raise again. He'll raise our spirits. But there is nothing to worry about. After humiliation, you see, there'll be the breaking of my silence, and the world will see my manifestation and my glorification. And that is wonderful. And this will be worldwide. This is because this time, this advent is such that this manifestation will be not in a small group, and it will be worldwide and in much lesser time than in the past. And glorification, you should be present at the time, and so forth. Well, we used to keep quiet. What can we say? We used to hear about his glorification. We used to feel happy about it. We used to hear and witness his being let down by the trust he has reposed in all his lovers, when these very lovers would want to go and visit saints or perfect masters, or go to some yogis and so forth. Time and again, in his great act of compassion, he would say, well, I have given my warnings, but they may not have heard it. Some are new ones. Again, issue the warning. So he'll dictate the different type, different occasions. Many warnings have been given. Reminders to the warnings have been given. And last warning is given in 1968. I don't know whether you all have read those things that have been printed in the books. They are all there. And most of them, I know, that they were not sent out to the Western world, because that was just a nice cloistered group of Baba lovers there, unadulterated by any thoughts of any saints or yogis or perfect masters or anything at that time. Then in later years, all this was infiltration started, you see, and yogis and swamis and this and that and bhagwans, and they all started going to the West. So naturally Baba had to contact the group heads in the West and tell them also about the warnings. So the last warnings may have gone to the West. But what happened was that one good day in the last years, I forget now, most probably it must have been 1967 or so, while we were sitting out there, he all of a sudden said about his breaking of his silence and all that, that figure he gave, which you all know, I don't want to, the delay in breaking of his silence. You all have heard that? Joe, you heard, you know, the other day? Yeah. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, the thing is that at that time, he said that he'll break his silence. So often he used to say that. And so often many circulars have been sent out. We all know that. Mm-hmm. And he passed away. Now we know that he passed away, and we think that he has not broken his silence. You know that? We know that. And he said that he'd break his silence, and the world will hear it with these gross ears, the sound of it. You know, you all have read that, no? And we haven't heard anything about it. So what is it? What has happened to it? He has gone back on his word. What has happened to it? So he had prepared, and he said that, then he started saying that what I mean by breaking my silence, what is the delay in breaking my silence, all the time that you were feeling the delay in breaking my silence, and so forth. So he gave a good figure about the delay in breaking his silence. What will happen when he breaks his silence is, will you read out this white one?
When the word of my love breaks out of its silence and speaks in your hearts, telling you who I really am, you will know that this is the real word you have always been longing to hear.